In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, and happy Father's Day. Some of you may know that this year is a very important year for church nerds like me. It marks the 500th anniversary of the beginning of the Protestant Reformation. 500 years ago this year, a German monk and academic named Martin Luther saw some problems with the theology and the practice of his beloved Roman Catholic Church, and so he wrote down 95 discussion points, or theses, 95 theses, and he nailed them to the church door in Wittenberg, where he was a pastor and an academic, in order to create some discussion. He had no intention of starting a revolution, but it literally changed the trajectory of human history. What drove Luther's conviction was the teaching that he found plainly and consistently in Scripture, that salvation is not and cannot be achieved by human work or effort, but rather is granted by the grace of our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ our Lord and is received by faith. And one of the places that he found this truth articulated most pointedly was in St. Paul's letter to the Romans. Luther called Romans the clearest gospel of them all, and it is chock full of good news for you and for me. So happy coincidence that in the 500th anniversary year of the Protestant Reformation, our lectionary takes us through a large part of this great epistle. And so this summer, we're going to be preaching through these lectionary passages in the book of Romans, sermon series entitled Freedom in Christ. Freedom in Christ. And so we begin with our passage from Romans chapter 5, where Paul states, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And you may be asking yourself, what does that mean exactly, justified by faith? Justification by faith is really the crux of this passage. It's the crux of the whole letter to Romans, and for that matter, the crux of the Protestant Reformation. And so three things we want to cover this morning. The meaning of justification, the means of justification, and number three, I couldn't make it start with an M, the goal of justification. The meaning, the means, and the goal of justification. So as we head into really the heart of this sermon, I want you to hear what Martin Luther said about the doctrine of justification by faith. He said, "The doctrine of justification by faith is the head and the cornerstone. It alone begets, nourishes, builds, preserves, and defends the Church of God. And without it, the Church of God cannot exist for 1 hour." So, important stuff. Number one, the meaning of justification. Now, if you have watched the news lately, you have no doubt seen a lot of people who felt the need to justify themselves. They have been trying to justify their actions, convince the world that what they did was right. In some cases, that what they did was legal. And you and I, we do this all the time, right? I can think so often of when I have been found trying to justify myself for my actions or my tone of voice. I didn't mean to say it like that, so that makes it okay that I said it, right? I wouldn't have done X if you hadn't done Y. I'm just trying to prove that I'm in the right. I'm trying to justify myself. Though in these scenarios, I rarely am, to just be honest. So I want you to imagine yourself in a courtroom. And you're standing before the judge, and the judge is God. In my mind, as I've been writing this, I've been picturing the judge from My Cousin Vinny. But that's kind of up to you. But the judge is God, and God, the judge, asks you why, very important question. He says, "Why should I accept you?" And he goes through a series of questions. "Have you loved me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Have you loved your neighbor as yourself? Have you obeyed all of the commandments? Have you gone to church? And on, you can hear just the list of questions. And then once the questions are through, you begin your defense. And you begin to list all the times where you have been loving or you have been obedient. That part of the defense ends a little quicker than you thought it would, but you get into times where you weren't so loving or weren't obedient exactly, but you make sure to give the very good reasons that you had for those particular actions, given the circumstances. Well, she did this, so I felt like I needed to do that. Or whatever it was, you have to justify yourself. And the crowd in the courtroom starts to murmur a little bit, and you're starting to sweat because this didn't really go in how you thought it would. And then in the back of the courtroom, the doors burst open, and there's light pouring through, and maybe doves or an Alleluia chorus. It's hard to know. And this the most joy-filled man that you've ever seen walks down, dances a little. Just it's amazing. And the whole room turns, and he's wearing sandals and a tunic. He's got this really awesome beard and a great smile, and he runs down the aisle. He's got his hand in the air. It's a nail-scarred hand. And he says, Dad, this one's with me. This one's with me. And the judge gets this great big smile on his face, and immediately it becomes clear to you that your hope in this trial lies not in the success of your defense, but in your alignment with this bright and nail-scarred son. And the judge, now he's got a twinkle in his eye, and he asks one more question. It's the question. Are you with him? Are you with him? And you know that the tactic of justifying yourself isn't going to work. But in him, in this son, you have been justified. And so you throw all your eggs in his basket. And you say to the judge, yep, I'm with him. And then the judge throws his gavel up in the air, stands up and says, well, then come on in. Come on in. See, justification is the acceptance by which God receives us into his favor as righteous people. You look at your own life and say, well, I don't know that I'm a righteous person. You don't have to justify yourself. It's already been done. You don't need to try. You have been justified. And that justification is received by faith, which simply can be understood as trust, putting all your eggs in his basket. That's the meaning of justification. Now you might say, well, okay, that's a fine story, but how can the son just say that? Like, he's with me. How can he say that? So let's briefly talk about number two, the means of justification. St. Paul says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that's remarkable because Paul is teaching us that Jesus did not say, you do your part, and then I'll do mine. Right? You get your act together, and then I'll do whatever is necessary, whatever is left. No. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The reason that Jesus can say, hey, Dad, this one's with me, is because he already paid the penalty for our unsuccessful defense. On the cross, he suffered the sentence for your guilty verdict and for mine. He took the judge's gavel, which nailed his hands and his feet to the cross, so that you and I could receive the judge's smiling invitation, come on in, come on in. Friends, you will not find this in any other religion, in any other philosophy, in any other strategy of self-gratitude or meditation, because they all, in one way or another, they are all reduced to a list of what you must do. In one way or another, they say, here's how you can get your act together. Here is how you can convince the judge. Here's what you must do in order to justify yourself to achieve God's acceptance, nirvana, bliss, whatever it is. And only the gospel of Jesus Christ meets you in your actual life. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ says it has all been done for you because God loves you. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ says, I know you can't give a successful defense, so I have provided the defense for you. I have written your name, the book of life, in the blood of Jesus Christ. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The means of justification is the cross of Jesus Christ. All right, well, good. But to what end? Number three, what is the goal of justification? The late Archbishop of Sydney, Marcus Lone, said years and years ago, the voice which declares forgiveness says, you may go. You have been let off the penalty which your sin deserves. But the verdict which declares justification will say, you may come. You are welcome to all my love and my presence. Therefore, as great as forgiveness is, it's basically a negative. Justification is a positive. Forgiveness says, you may go. I'm not going to punish you. Justification says, you may come. You are welcome to all my love and my presence. Paul tells us that the goal of our justification before God is reconciliation with God. You might think, well, reconciliation, I don't know that I've ever had a relationship with God in the first place. You were made to have a relationship with Him. And so from God's standpoint, He is bringing you home. One quick story, and I'll be done. May 21st, 1748. A wicked 22-year-old British sailor was awoken in his hammock as salt water rushed into his room through a gaping hole in the ship wall. It was a savage storm tossing his ship to and fro. His ship was called the Greyhound. And the waves had ripped the upper timbers off of one side of the boat. Now, this sailor was widely known to have a stone-cold heart and a mouth that would make other sailors blush. He captured Africans to be sold into slavery, and he pursued every vice, and he made it his constant business to draw others down into the earthly pursuits. This wretched young man jumped half naked from his bed, knee deep in water, and it mattered little that he could not swim, because they were weeks away from the nearest coastline under the best conditions. And as he bailed water from his room with a mop bucket, it became clear to him that he was going to die. Overcome with the futility of his efforts to save himself and the nearness of his own death, young John Newton blurted out, "If this will not do, the Lord have mercy on us." The name of the Lord from his own lips, spoken with sincere desperation rather than the usual blasphemy, startled, scared young Newton even more than the raging sea. His hard heart had been pierced as if with an arrow. He was immediately humbled and broken as he cried out for mercy for the first time in many, many years. As he pitched water into the dark night, he could hardly imagine his life continuing, let alone thriving spiritually. And yet the Lord heard John Newton's cries. Miraculously, they survived. The ship didn't sink. As the tattered ship limped its way back to port, barely afloat, John Newton saw this as just this ship as a picture of his own spiritual condition. But Newton's heart had been changed. Not just reformed, not improved, but changed. He was a new creation in Christ. The old had gone, the new had come. Though he could claim no deserving on his own, he knew that he was in Christ. He was accepted by God through grace, justified by faith. He was reconciled to his heavenly Father who had made him to love him. And although he was never formally trained, Newton would become the very antithesis of his pre-Christian self, becoming a pastor, encouraging many out of the very vices he had once so diligently encouraged. He fought alongside William Wilberforce for the abolition of the very slave trade that had once made him wealthy. And along the way, he penned some of the greatest and most familiar words in the English language still today. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. The goal of justification is reconciliation with the Father. And justification really is the gospel. It really is good news. It is the head and the cornerstone, the very uniqueness of the Christian message, and the very life of the church. It is the heart of the Protestant Reformation, of which we Episcopalians are heirs. And it is the heart of Paul's letter to the Romans. The question is it your heart? Is it your life? Are you hedging your bets? Or are your eggs all in his basket? Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. For while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. It saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Amen.